My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
I've been chased out of the studio again, which is no big deal. It's a nice day, so I came back out here to the park. And I was thinking on the way over here that in a previous episode of this podcast, I discussed the history of radio. I think it's what it's called. It's actually called the history of radio. It's like episode 3 or 4. It's way up at the beginning of this thing for some time ago. And in that episode, I discussed a little bit as to why I got into this business. And it occurred to me, too, that I never really kind of fully explained myself, because there is something to it. You know, there is there's that whole thing about the magic behind the business, which, you know, I included several cuts of old radio, the technological magic that occurs that used to be a big deal back in those days. And it attracted me to the business and all, but I never really discussed the whole real emotion and the reality of the business. And that's what I want to talk about here on this episode from Radioland. You know, here of late, we've kind of gotten away from that, and that's okay. I don't mind doing that. I mean, this podcast is about various different things. I'll have different people in, as you know, and it's kind of a hodgepodge. Nothing really set in stone, if you will. We want to keep it wide open because you just never know what might come through the door, and want to keep our ideas open. So I wanted to take this opportunity here to kind of get into that and talk a little bit about this thing that people refer to as the Golden Age. The Golden Age is an idea that it's the beginning, it's the heyday, it's the salad days of any industry, and certainly television has had theirs and radio has had theirs. The Golden Age being, I would probably hazard to guess, somewhere in the 30s and 40s of radio, maybe up into the 50s, where the radio dramas, and it was just the heyday of the business, and there was so much that was happening, and everything was live, and was wholesome and different, and everybody was doing different things and trying to find ways to be entertaining. I believe that, you know, of course, every industry has its golden age. There's no doubt about that. And there's a golden age of plumbing. I'm thinking that probably occurred during the Roman Empire. But there, when you're talking about the golden age of things, I do believe that people themselves go through their golden ages as well. And I'm starting to believe that I'm going through mine right now. Of course, working with Radio Memphis is what is prompted a lot of this. Internet, the internet itself, I think, is now entering its golden age. The innocence has long been lost, of course, but the creativity is what abounds in the industry, and that is what is spurring so many cool things occurring in internet radio. And Radio Memphis is right there in the thick of it, and that's what brings me to this. I think we are living in the golden age of internet radio. So many wonderful things about to happen for Radio Memphis in the process of that, and us getting involved with the things that we're getting involved in is what really kind of spurs a lot of that on, and it forces us to be creative. You know, I'm going to try and put into words, there's a certain palpable feeling that I get when I'm working in on a project or something to that effect, and it usually there's a very unusual moment that occurs in my head. And it happens, every once in a while. Usually at nighttime when I'm sitting at my desk and I'm editing some audio for, you know, whatever purpose that I'm working on. And, kind of in my background, you know, off to my side, I'm hearing the radio station just kind of churning away, you know, playing its music and its imaging bits and commercials and things like that. And I get to thinking about how kind of cool all of this really is and to be a part of that. It's really quite difficult to describe that feeling. And it must be what my counterparts back in the 40s and 50s must have gone through when they realized just how special this was to be sitting there in their studios, and they, you know, perhaps it might be raining outside, or maybe some snow is falling and it's dark, and there are people that you know that are being entertained by what you're doing at that particular time, and and you're about to contribute more to that. And there's a very comfortable, warm feeling that I get for working in that industry and doing that particular thing at that particular time. And knowing that what I'm putting together is, you know, strictly an audio type format, which is what like this much like this podcast is. And I get that feeling a lot when I'm editing these things and putting them together for you. And which is part of the reason why I use the big band music as the theme for this podcast, theme for this show, which, by the way, is performed by the U.S. Army Band. Thank you, fellas. And there is that, you know, that great feeling that kind of sweeps over me where I feel like I'm home no matter where I am and I'm doing this. I could be in some cold, dark studio somewhere downtown or out east of the city or sitting in a park like I am right now and get the idea that what I'm doing has some real intrinsic value, not just to myself, but to other, you know, other folks around. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And I think there's a lot of folks out there that understand that, because when you find that thing that you do, that you enjoy doing, it becomes a very real thing. And that reality, it supersedes the notion of trying to pay the bills, if you will, or, you know, the every other thing that's going on in your life tends to just kind of melt away for a few moments while you're really focused in the task at hand. Well, and I think that the internet is, as I've mentioned, is going through its golden age of radio, and it's a good thing to be a part of that. And I'll tell you why, because there's been a lot of talk here of late about the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, getting involved with what is happening in the internet. Namely, it's this whole net neutrality thing, and they had just recently voted, as I understand this, to allow internet service providers, your ISPs, if you will, to throttle the internet. In other words, the FCC is giving the gas pedal and the keys over to major corporations that provide internet service to various individuals and control how much you consume. It becomes a bandwidth issue, really. It's a data thing. And like anything else, you know, you start dragging corporations into all of this thing, and by God, the whole thing just turns to shit. Lord knows I've seen it during the early days of my career in the innocence that was still FM radio. Back in those days, God, some 30 years ago, I've been knocking around in this thing. And, you know, seeing how, you know, corporations were, you know, their main concern was selling the advertisement and pretty much leaving as it is and letting the programmers do what they do best, which was to attract listeners so they could sell advertising against it. It's basic concept. But when corporations became more needy and more greedy and started turning things and tearing things apart and seeking government protection for themselves, that's, you know, that's when the whole thing kind of just really, really got out of hand. That whole notion that corporations are people too is just their way of trying to humanize themselves, as though we're supposed to somehow feel sorry for them. No, a corporation is a legal document that binds a couple of individuals to the business at hand, which is to make money doing what they do, and however they see fit to do it is, I guess, their way of running business. And if they get out there and they fail at it and then they blame everybody but themselves, then you got a problem. And we're all supposed to suddenly feel sorry for these corporations, these big money bag individuals that think that they've got the, you know, bull by the balls, when actually they don't. Corporations are people. Yeah, I'll believe that when the state of Texas and the state of Florida decide to execute a corporation for whatever reason. Nevertheless, having said all of that, I like to believe that the innocence of the internet is still somewhat intact. And I'm not talking about pictures of boobies. Good God. I mean, that's, I think the innocence of it is the fact that it's there and it's free and it's open. And I think we can maintain that by maintaining its access. It has to be on a level playing field. It has to be accessible by you, by me, by major corporations, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or not, the internet is there for you. It's the ultimate library. It's the ultimate source of information. It's the ultimate place to go to be entertained. Companies like Netflix have found a way to make their living by providing entertaining content. They've worked out the legalities. They allow the internet to come in here as their modes of delivery, and boom, you're watching movies, you're watching television shows, and you're having your fun with it. And now there's all these companies out there that are standing there going, well, you know, we want to be able to control that. And the Federal Communications Commission has been put in this kind of a bizarre position where they feel like now that they've got to be the ones in control of it. Well, we've seen what happened to the radio industry, and it's stupid, to be quite honest with you. And there's no need for any of this type of nonsense to be occurring because, quite frankly, you know, I don't see how the federal government can try and contain something such as the internet when it comes to these sorts of things. I mean, let's be honest here. Are they now going to be in charge of every other country's access to the information superhighway, as it were? Remember that term? The information superhighway is really what the internet is all about. There's an exit as you're going down the highway to stop off at Radio Memphis or stop off at Google or wherever the hell you're going. What a complete bullshit notion that is. But that's the way some of these people think, and that they feel that it needs to be controlled. It needs to be policed. There has been this whole notion, and especially the American government, that we are the police force of the entire world, whether it's on the internet or in somebody else's politics. Personally, I think that's bullshit. We should stay to our own thing. And that statement right there may have upset some of you. And if that's the case, go fuck yourselves. Quite frankly, if you don't like it, turn it off and delete this from your subscription, and that'll be that. You'll never have to worry about me saying these sorts of things ever again. But if you believe that a human being has been given, I guess, certain rights to access the things that they should have access to, basic needs, whether it's a glass of water or a place to lay their head down or some, you know, food, then you continue on. The internet, I think, is one of those things. Last I checked, I think it was about 60% of the world is now connected to the internet. And it's actually kind of a smaller number if you think of it. There are certain areas of the world that don't have internet connections. That's why, for example, Radio Memphis, which is sitting now in about 130 countries, 127 countries. The issue with that is it's probably not going to get much higher than that because there's really only like 200 and something countries, and that number fluctuates from time to time. You just don't know how many countries there are. For example, Ukraine used to be its own country. They're fighting now to maintain that status, but the Russians are saying no. So, you know, you're going to have countries that come and go and such as that, and that may be what it is. Now, having said all of that, I think that every person on the planet has its rights to the information that is available out there on the internet, for good or ill. I think we should all be left to our own devices to a certain extent, and we don't need to be out there trying to govern that sort of thing. Having said all of this, with the FCC getting involved, it does make you wonder about where we're going with this whole control of the internet. So let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that the Federal Communications Commission, realizing that FM radio is really kind of a joke, along with AM radio, and that there's really nothing to contain anymore, nothing to regulate anymore, have now, as a way to justify their means to an end, have decided to move into the internet business and control that. So let's just say that this has all gone through, and the big corporations now are telling the little guy who likes to listen to Radio Memphis or watch Netflix or whatever the case may be, that they can't access everything they want to access because you're not giving them enough money to open up the pipe which flows the data to your device. See, it's a money thing, of course it is. But is it a necessary thing? No, it's not necessary. It's just another way for these companies to try and make money. So what I say by putting out a level playing field is that people like us here at Radio Memphis have the ability then to compete with the big guys on a level playing field, because everybody gets to choose with where they get their entertainment. They can click here, click there, get this, get that, be done with it, and away you go. That's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, that's what competition is all about. Free enterprise, if you will. Those of you that live in other countries where capitalism is frowned upon does bring in a certain bit of fear in regards to that, because it's like, well, if it's not an approved source of entertainment, you can't get it, which is really why Radio Memphis exists, because, you know, let's be honest, the whole point of playing music that no other FM or AM radio station, for that matter, will play is why we did what we did, why we created Radio Memphis. You know, back in the 50s, the pirates that were setting off the northern shores there, the North Atlantic, broadcasting rock and roll into England and the Netherlands and up into Norway and whatnot, that was being done because their governments were saying, you don't need to listen to that music. Here in the United States, FM radio was kind of doing the same thing. They still are. They're saying, well, you don't need to hear that. In fact, here's some more Justin Bieber. Here's some more Boston. Here's some more Foreigner. Here's some more Garth Brooks. And whether you like it or not, you're stuck with it. It becomes a big problem, because now you are being spoon-fed. You are being told what to listen to and why to listen to it, and why you should buy this and why you shouldn't buy that. In the meantime, guys like us at Radio Memphis have set up shop to, you know, thumb our noses at these corporations like Clear Channel, and decide whether or not you should hear what you hear. We've opened up our playlist so much at Radio Memphis that, you know, we allow everybody to come in and be a part of it. And that's the whole point. Every genre is represented. As long as you are unsigned, as long as you are, you know, within reason. And if you are working on a limited area where you're not going to, get traditional airplay anywhere else, well, then, you know, by God, you should have the ability to listen to what we have to offer. And that's just it. When you deal with companies like Clear Channel, who quite frankly are bastards. In fact, this episode was supposed to be about Bad Dog. I was actually going to sit down and do the Bad Dog episode. I was actually going to do it last night, but I was out with the wife last night, and we were with some friends, and we wound up having a nice dinner somewhere, and we just didn't get the opportunity when I got back to sit down and actually record the thing, just by virtue of the fact that it was kind of late and there was a show that was coming on and I needed to vacate the studio. So that's hence why I'm out here with the little mini recorder doing the thing that I'm doing. And I'm having to move now because it is so busy out here at the park today that they're having to park cars where I'm sitting. So I'm going to go for a little walk, and you're coming with me as we talk along. So here's the thing. We created this monster of an internet radio station, and we're trying to put things together and make it all work. And we're making some headway here. We've got some people that are really interested in what we're doing, and we certainly appreciate that. And I'll be able to elaborate more on that once certain deals become a thing and they're in place, and that's a good thing. But back to what I'm saying about the golden age. We're in it right now. The internet is the Wild West. You can make that a very simple analogy, if you will. We're out here doing the things that we do because we can. There's nobody out there to tell us no. Although there are people out there that really want to tell us, no, you can't do this, and no, you can't do that. Why? Because I said so. And that's where it turns into a fight. And I can tell you right here and right now that I do believe that everybody that is within this industry, internet broadcasting, podcasting is a part of that as well, we should find a way to get together and be able to put our foot down, if necessary, and tell those people who want to control this to shove it up their ass. In some manner of words, of course. There's no need for us to have to fight these fights like this. The internet was put out there. We're stuck with it. It's not going anywhere. Businesses within the internet community are going to come and go. They do that. We're starting to see a plateau in business from people like, or companies like Facebook, which personally I don't think is going to be around too terribly much longer. I had a discussion with a good friend of mine about this about last night. You start tweaking something so much, eventually things start falling apart. People turn away from it, and it becomes an issue. I think a lot with Facebook is a lot of the privacy issues that have become an issue, become a problem, really. If Facebook has the ability to use the microphone on your phone to determine where you are and state so on Facebook and tell everybody where you're at when it's really nobody else's business unless you decide to tell that person where you are, then, you know, knock yourself out. But I don't think that we need that kind of control. And people are starting, especially in this day and age of people spying on people, we've had enough. We've all had enough of it, and we don't need this anymore. That's a good thing. So people need to stand up, and I think broadcasters and podcasters need to do the same thing. We need to find a way to stand up, band together if need be, and say, look, we're all in business. We're all engaged in fair competition. We all live and die by who buys advertisement for this, that, or the other. That's what this is about. It's not about any other thing. And we don't need government regulation because we've got enough of it. And we don't need the United States government, specifically the Federal Communications Commission, to stand there, or sit there as the case may be, and push things around and say, well, you know, perhaps we need to regulate what you're doing in the interest of making it more fair. More fair being the, I guess, the code for, well, we want to help those who are giving us a lot of money. We're going to support AT&T. We're going to support Comcast and Time Warner because they wrote checks and made it possible for us to do what we do. Never has the phrase, one of my favorite phrases, become more applicable. Go fuck yourselves. Leave us alone. Leave it be. That's how the golden age of radio went away. Corporations came in and became greedy. They didn't like what, the small amounts of money that they were making at the time. So it was time to run them out. Run these people off. And what I mean by people are employees. We can make it easier for everybody. We can make more money for ourselves by having computers come in and do the jobs. Television did the same thing. Television is its own particular strange animal because what you see on television now is really quite appalling. You know, 1,000 channels available to each and every one of us here if you're willing to pay the money for the cable and satellite services. And what are you stuck with? The same bullshit on every channel. One show becomes a hit and 30 clones come out within a year. And they're obvious about it. They don't even try and hide the fact that they're ripping people off, ripping creativity off. That's just what they do. I've seen it in Radio Memphis. Other radio stations have copied everything that we have done. Well, not everything, but they've copied a good bit of what we are doing. They ran me out of the business because for financial reasons. That's all there was to it. And when they did that, so many people were put out on a job, just like myself, so they could save a couple of bucks, and the guys up in the ivory tower could afford to buy that extra car because they'd gotten a bonus from meeting their particular bottom line on the budget for that year. That's all it was. Guys like guys that I used to work with, like people you don't know, Timothy Davies, who's now in Atlanta, Georgia, bought himself a nice car for making budget. Yeah, you know how he made budget? He had a stack of card keys, office access card keys, sitting on the corner of his desk one day with his feet on the desk and that pompous bullshit look on his face that, you know what, fuck you. I'm doing this because I can. I was told to cut A, B, and C, and I cut all the way to D, E, and F. Guys like Michael Oppenheimer, who ran me out personally, he was the end of my career. Actually, it was Tim Spencer, but that's a whole other ballgame. You know, driving around in his nice fat Mercedes. Well, ultimately, he got his because he's out of a fucking job. He's out of the industry because the circle got a little too tight. The snake ate its own tail. And once they fired everybody that came after him. I digress a little bit. I'm not being bitter by any means. I'm just telling you the way it is. And those of you who sit there and you wonder why the business is what the business is, that's part of it. Television went through this whole thing. You know, with their greed, they still kind of do, but they're trying to pull that back. And I think to a certain extent, the radio industry has realized that it's really kind of screwed themselves out of so much. So they're trying to save their own hides as well. And when they see guys like us over at Radio Memphis doing the things that we're doing, they are now in a position to say, well, let's create us some buzzwords. Let's create a buzzword. Let's use, how about the word local? That was the foundation by which Radio Memphis was created, playing local music. Obviously, we're living in Memphis. This is a music city. The history here is incredibly rich and deep, and there's so much to it. And it made perfect sense just to broadcast that out there because, frankly, nobody else would. And because of that, people got excited about the things that we were doing. Really excited. I learned by accident that Memphis was not only just one of the most searched words on the internet, but Memphis music, I'd always had an inkling, would be pretty popular. Didn't realize just how popular it would be, because it is, quite frankly, one of the most popular searches out there, and that's what generates a lot of the traffic for Radio Memphis. That's a good thing. I like that. So here we are, standing here. Well, actually, I'm in the middle of an open field right now. But here we are, metaphorically, on the web, doing our thing and rattling some cages, and all the while brewing around us are organizations that are trying to find ways to control it. Because it doesn't seem very fair. Let me be honest with you people. Radio Memphis exists in the back of a house, a residence, my residence, where my wife and I and our two dogs and two cats live. The residence where, frankly, Brother Doug has moved in with us because he needed a place to stay, and I've got a spare room. A residence where people live. We have people that come and go through our house to create this radio. Keeps the overhead down. Couldn't afford the rent. Don't need to. Not right this point in time. That'll hopefully will all change soon enough, but nevertheless, the bullshit exists. They didn't like the fact that we are doing what we're doing and how we're doing it and where it all occurs. They can't wrap it around their tiny little pin-headed skulls to understand the fact that you don't have to be so stupid. You don't have to be so complicated. Radio was never about that. Radio was always about having a good time, playing music, entertaining people, attracting an audience. The only time anything negative should have occurred was when there was some bad news you'd have to deliver. The death of Johnny Winter, or the death of a Beatle, or the death of James Govan. Rest his soul. That's the only time things should get sort of negative about it. And we try, you know, we try really hard to keep a very positive thing. And I think we do a pretty good job with that by, you know, getting out there and having some fun and playing the rock and roll and, you know, trying to be as entertaining as we possibly can. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit there and watch as some federal organization tries to usurp our authority or their own authority by coming in and trying controlling what we're doing, because what difference does it make to you people what it is that I'm doing? If you don't like it, don't listen to it. Same thing with this podcast. If you don't like it, don't subscribe to it. Some 27,000 of you have decided to stay on, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. as I get a burr under my saddle thinking about it. It does kind of wind me up. After the things that I had witnessed happened. After that happened. Like I said, I was about ready to sit down and tell you all the whole story about Bad Dog. That's coming. I'm just not there yet. That story will happen, and you're not going to like what you hear. I'll tell you that right now, right off the bat. You're not going to like what you hear. It will anger some of you. It'll make some of you sick. And it should. It's a prime example of what corporate America has done to human beings. What they've done in the past and what they continue to do today. So as we progress along with the growth of this radio station and enjoy the golden age of the internet, which we're in right now. You're damn right I'm enjoying this. I enjoy the fact that people are upset at the things that we do. We've made some difficult decisions along the way. Made quite a few mistakes along the way. That just happens. We're all human. Got involved with people I shouldn't have gotten involved with in the first place, but it happens. You got to go through that sort of thing before you can progress on. I get it. I understand that. I personally have put several people straight through hell. Not by intention, it just sort of worked out that way. My poor wife, who works her ass off to keep the doors open at Radio Memphis, deserves every accolade she can get. There's going to come a time when that woman won't have to work as hard as she is doing. In fact, I'd like to see her get out of the restaurant business completely and let her do what she really wants to do. More on that some other time. So along the way, we'll continue to hold our heads up, we'll continue to fight the good fight, and we'll have as much fun as we possibly can. I know there doesn't seem like there was a whole heck of a lot of substance to this. And that's just the way that goes sometimes. You know how it is. Those of you who are longtime listeners of this podcast completely understand that. And I thank you again for being a part of it. Once we find ourselves in greener pastures, which is really odd that I should use that metaphor because I'm standing in a green pasture. And it can't get much greener than what we're in right now. But once we find ourselves in those better positions, in those loftier places where we can do the things that we can do without the pressures that we're having to face right now, I can promise you all this, that our lives will be much better. Your lives will be much more entertained. I can give you that right now. We could do so much more with the things that we're working on. And it will all come in due time. And we thank you for your patience.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
On this episode from Radioland, we're going to hang out with our good friend Abigail Noel.
So I immediately, when asked this question, what do we do in heaven, I see Jay standing in front of me. And he goes, we go boating. Backstabbing, the jealousy, the... See what I'm saying?
Just people
all that
being
go.
Asses, yeah.
Just people. In fact, that's so funny that you said that because, yes, asshole as an archetype. There are some people. I wanted that the other day. I was like, we just need to have, like, asshole as an archetype. The spirit of Lorenzen Wright, who I call Ren, that came to me. He came to me actually the day that his body was found. All of the readings were validated by his family members, his mother Deborah, his sister Savia, and other members of the family. And yes, he showed me who did it on the first read.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
Coming up here on the old podcast, we've got some more fun headed your way. I do like doing the occasional solo one like I've done here this time around. It's a lot of fun to do it. It gives me a chance to sort of vent my spleen. I promise you that somewhere down the way, I will do the whole Bad Dog thing. I know I've mentioned it 1,000 times, but that will come in due time, and that'll be a big day for everybody. It'll be a nice little bit of therapy for myself to kind of, you know, finally put that story to rest. That is something that'll be good. We're all looking forward to that. Also, along the way, I'm going to be making a return trip to Elmwood Cemetery, but this time I'm taking she doesn't really call herself a clairvoyant. She's a medium. There's that. She has said many times she has this claim of being able to speak to the dead and the dead speaking to her. I want to take her to Elmwood Cemetery and I want to hear some things. I want to know what's going on. We're going to have some fun with that one. So that's all headed up that way too. You want to do yourself a favor. You actually want to help us out. You want to help me out personally. You want to help out this podcast and help out Radio Memphis. There's a very, very simple thing that you can do. However it is that you found this podcast, please share it amongst your social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is that you use. Tell everybody you know about it. Give it a share. If you like what you've heard, great. I appreciate it. It'd be wonderful to have that many more listeners. And if you don't like it, well then, sort of my theme this podcast, go fuck yourselves. Seriously, you don't have to subscribe to it, but we really do appreciate it that you do. That means a lot to me, and it helps keep this thing in its proper perspective, that I can be a part of this and speaking to you on a weekly basis, which is what we're doing. And it seems that we're getting close to the end of season two. Every 13 weeks is a season on this sort of thing, because there's four seasons in a year. There's four seasons in the old podcast world. The only difference is I don't take any time off in between. There is no hiatus, as in some shows do. They'll go for 13 weeks. They take 13 weeks off to produce, and they come back on in 13 weeks. And screw it. No, we're going to continue on year-round. That's the way things work around here. Perhaps I've painted myself into a corner by having to do the little promo every week, but that's what keeps it going for me. It makes things a lot easier as we continue on. Elsewhere in podcast news, I will be making an appearance on Jeff Janovich's show called The Bottleneck. It's about blues music in the Memphis area. As you know, he and I host a show every Sunday night on Radio Memphis called Booze and Blues, Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time, radio-memphis.com. Now he's doing a podcast where he's sitting down and interviewing guys that are in the scene, lots of musicians. He's got the whole world at his fingertips with that whole deal, and he's asked me to come be a guest on his show, which would be awesome. I don't want to take away from those artists, so I'm not going to be making that many regular appearances on his show just simply because I don't need to. He needs, you know, he's got everything he needs to make that show work without me coming in there and fucking it all up for him. I invite him on this show because, quite frankly, I run out of things to think about, to say. I like his ideas. That's really what it boils down to. I can come up with something really innocuous and say something to him about it, and he can turn around and really make a beautiful statement in those regards. So that's a good thing. So, more fun to come from the podcast arena, more fun to come from internet radio. Hey, more fun to come from the internet itself, because by God, we are living in the golden age. It's the wild, wild west, my friend, and you're right here with a ringside seat to all of it. So on that bombshell, as it is said, it's time for me to get on out of here, and we'll catch up with you next time. So once again, thanks for being a part of the show, and we'll catch you later. My name is Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.